सेनागदाभिता। सो विल रीड दिस अगेन। भवद्विदा भागवता तीर्थभूता स्वयं विभो तीर्थिकुर्वन्ति तीर्थानि स्वान्तस्तेनागदाभृता। सो दिस इज द 10th वर्स फ्रॉम द 13th चैप्टर ऑफ द फर्स्ट कैंटो। एंड हियर युधिष्ठिर इज टेलिंग विदुरा, माय लॉर्ड, डिवोटीज लाइक योर गुड सेल्फ आर वेरीली होली प्लेसेस पर्सोनिफाइड। बिकॉज यू कैरी द पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड विद इन योर हार्ट, यू टर्न ऑल प्लेसेज इन टू प्लेसेज ऑफ पिलग्रमेज। सो अनदर थिंग दैट प्रभुपाद मेंशन्स इज दैट बिकॉज विदुरा, इवन इफ यू वर सेपरेशन फ्रॉम लॉर्ड कृष्णा, ही हैड द अपॉर्चुनिटी टू बी इन हस्तिनापुर एंड बी इन क्लोज एसोसिएशन विद द लॉर्ड, बट ही चोज टू गो ऑन अ पिलग्रिमेज एंड कल्टिवेट डीपली हिज कॉन्टेम्पलेशन एंड लविंग रिलेशनशिप विद द लॉर्ड एंड लर्न फ्रॉम द साधुज एंड सन्यासीज लाइक मैत्रेय ऋषि एट होली प्लेसेज। यू डोंट जस्ट गो टू अ तीर्थ स्थान टू फॉर साइट सीइंग और यू नो जस्ट टेकिंग दर्शन। It is important that we take instructions from the people who are there of those holy places. That's another thing Prabhupada tells. So Prabhupada, when he's explaining in the third canto about Vidura, the same story, he's telling that because Vidura was constantly thinking about the Lord, even in his pilgrimage, constantly taking darshan about the Lord, constantly contemplating the Lord, he was always with the Lord. He was very close to the Lord. So the contemplation itself makes you very close to the Lord. So what to speak of being with the Lord himself. So the Vidura was always had the Lord in his heart. And that is what Yudhishthir Maharaj is telling. That, you know, you yourself is a Tirtha Stan because the Lord is in your heart. And wherever you go, you make all those places also places of pilgrimage. So actually, there was no need for you to go on pilgrimage. But it is Vidura's humility that he was thinking like that. So, and then in the purport, Prabhupada is giving examples of Vidura, and then he's telling that we should find representatives of Vidura at the holy places who have no desire in life save and except to serve the personality of Godhead. This is in the middle of the purport. The personality of Godhead is always with such pure devotees because of their unalloyed service, which is without any tinge of fruitive action or utopian speculation. They are in the service of the Lord specifically by the process of hearing and chanting. The pure devotees hear from the authorities and chant, sing and write of the glories of the Lord. Mahamuni Vyasadeva heard from Narada and then he chanted in writing. Sukadeva Goswami studied from his father and he described it to Parikshit. That is the way of Srimad Bhagavatam. So by their actions, the pure devotees of the Lord can render any place into a place of pilgrimage and the holy places are worth the name only on their account. Such pure devotees are able to rectify the polluted atmosphere of any place. And what to speak of a holy place rendered unholy by the questionable actions of interested persons who try to adopt a professional life at the cost of the reputation of a holy place. So Prabhupada has some comments about not doing the wrong things at the holy place. Text 11. Apina suhridastata bandhava krishna devata drishta shruta vayadava swapuryam sukhamasate. My uncle, you must have visited Dwaraka. In that holy place are our friends and well-wishers, the descendants of Yadu, who are always wrapped in the service of the Lord Shri Krishna. You might have seen them or heard about them. Are they all living happily in their abodes? So this one devotee's heart is always in the, you know, attracted to another devotee. What they are doing, how they must be serving the Lord, what activities they must be doing. See, it happens, right, when we meet devotees from different cities and different yatras, then when we are with them, we are very eager to know what kind of services they are doing for the Lord, how they are glorifying Lord Shri Krishna, like that. So here, Yudhishthir is also thinking like that. Plus, the Yadus had supported, had helped Yudhishthir Maharaj. And also, they are all connected to Krishna. So therefore, they are very, very interested in knowing about the Yadus and Lord Krishna. So Prabhupada is explaining that the particular word Krishna Devata, that is, those who are always wrapped in the service of Lord Krishna, is significant. The Yadavas and the Pandavas, who were always wrapped in the thought of Lord Krishna and his different transcendental activities, were all pure devotees of the Lord like Vidura. Vidura left home in order to devote himself completely to the service of the Lord. But the Pandavas and the Yadavas were always wrapped in the thought of Lord Krishna. Thus, there is no difference in their pure devotional qualities. Either remaining at home or leaving home, the real qualification of a pure devotee is to become wrapped in the thought of Krishna favorably. That is, knowing well that Lord Krishna is the absolute personality of Godhead. Kamsa, Jarasandha, Shishupala, and other demons like them were also wrapped in the thought of Lord Krishna, but they were absorbed in a different way, namely unfavorably, or thinking him to be a powerful man only, or as an enemy. Therefore, Kamsa and Shishupala are not on the same level as pure devotees like Vidura, the Pandavas, and the Yadavas. Maharaj Yudhishthir was also wrapped in the thought of Lord Krishna and his associates at Dwaraka. Otherwise, he could have not asked all about them from Vidura. Maharaj Yudhishthir was therefore on the same level of devotion as Vidura, although engaged in the state affairs of the kingdom of the world. So people are engaged in different duties, but if they are always wrapped in the thought of Lord Krishna, then they are all devotees of the Lord and are the same level. Text 12. Ityukto dharmarajena sarvam tat samavarnayat yathanubhutam kramasho vina yadukulakshayam. Thus being questioned by Maharaj Yudhishthir, Mahatma Vidura gradually described everything he had personally experienced, except news of the annihilation of the Yadu dynasty. So, by that time, the Yadu dynasty had been annihilated, and there is description details in the 3rd canto and the 11th canto of Bhagavatam. So, Vidura does not tell that about that because he does not want them to be broken hearted. Right? And that is explained in the next verse, text 13. Nanva priyam durvishaham rinam swayam upastitam. Na vedayat sakaruno dukhitan drashtum akshamaha. Compassionate Mahatma Vidura could not stand to see the Pandavas distressed at any time. Therefore, he did not disclose this unpalatable and unbearable incident because calamities come of their own accord. So, according to Niti Shastra, you don't speak unpalatable truths to cause distress to others, and that is satyam bruyat priyam bruyat. You speak truth that is palatable. And distress will anyway come, so then why you should aggravate it by propaganda? So therefore he does not tell them. Text 14. Kanchit kalam atavatsit satkrito deva vatsukham bhratur jeshtasya shreyaskrit sarvesham sukham avahan. Thus Mahatma Vidura, being treated just like a godly person by his kinsmen, remained there for a certain period, just to rectify the mentality of his eldest brother and in this way bring happiness to all the others. So when saintly people travel, or they go to some place, they go with a particular purpose. When they are going there, Vidura has come here to give Krishna consciousness to his eldest brother, who is Dhritarashtra. So Dhritarashtra was not following the dharma. One thing is he was so attached to his son, because of him the battle happened and so many things. But now, even after the battle has been lost, he is so attached to the opulences that it is his age, vanaprastha, to go deeper into his contemplation of the Lord, do proper austerities and live a life as a, you know, separate from all these opulences and riches. And that was the way of the kings. And now we don't have any examples, so we don't understand what it is. But even now, there are people who are cultivating vanaprastha. They may not be going to the forest, but they are living aloof from the day-to-day activities of the household life, and they some of them are moving to holy places, so some of them have increased their preaching and services like that. So Dhritarashtra had not done that, and Maharaj Yudhishthir had was maintaining Yudhishthir very nicely, and he was taking care of him very nicely. That was Maharaj Yudhishthir's duty, but Dhritarashtra should have felt some shame that it is not his age to enjoy family life, it is his age to go deeper into spiritual realization. And then Prabhupada writes down in the end of the purport, but talks of spiritual enlightenment are so refreshing that while instructing Dhritarashtra, Vidura attracted the attention of all the members of the family, and all of them took pleasure in hearing him patiently. That is the way of spiritual realization. The message should be heard attentively, and if spoken by a realized soul, it will act on the dormant heart of the conditioned soul. And by continuously hearing, one can attain the perfect stage of self-realization. So here, we also have to hear. So sometimes, you know, we are sitting in the class and somebody asks a question, and then the speaker is answering a question to that particular person. Then some of us may tune off. Oh, that answer is for this person, I don't have to hear. No, we have to be like these people in Mahabharata, that when Dhritarashtra is being instructed, all of them are eagerly receiving the instructions of Vidura. And also it is our sincerity. So a sincere devotee or disciple is one who takes a general instruction to be like a personal instruction. So when we are hearing so many things in the lecture, or somebody else's question is being answered, we have to learn how to take that personally for ourselves also. Text 15. Abhibrad aryamadandam yathavad adhakarishu yavadadhara shudratvam shapadvarsha satam yamaha. As long as Vidura played the part of a Shudra, being cursed by Manduka Muni, Aryama officiated at the post of Yamaraj to punish those who committed sinful acts. So basically we know the story that Yamaraj was also wanted to relish the pastimes of the Lord and also wanted to contemplate on the Lord and be with the devotees of the Lord. He was not very happy continuing his service. I mean, he was doing his service, but he also wanted to relish because he's also one of the Mahatmas. So then there was a situation related where he was cursed by Manduka Muni and he came as Vidura. So now, in spite of Vidura, Prabhupada is explaining that it does not matter if somebody is born from a Shudra or a Brahmin or anything. If one is Sei Krishna Tattva Veta, Sei Guru Hoy. So it does not matter what caste you belong to. As long as you understand Krishna Tattva, that person can be Guru. He can preach. So, yeah, they were Mahajans, Mahatmas. So Yamaraj was one of the Mahajans. And that is what Prabhupada is explaining in this particular purport. So here, Vidura is born from the womb of a Shudra woman, but he is the greatest devotee of the Lord. Text 16. Yudhishthira labdha rajyo drishtva pautram kulandaram bhratrabhir lokapala bhai mumude parayashriya. Having won his kingdom and observed the birth of one grandson competent to continue the noble tradition of his family, Maharaj Yudhishthira reigned peacefully and enjoyed uncommon opulence and cooperation with his younger brothers, who were all expert administrators to the common people. This is self-explanatory. Next verse, text 17. Evam griheshu sattanam pramattanam tadihaya atyakramat avignata kala paramadustaraha. Insurmountable eternal time imperceptibly overcomes those who are too much attached to family affairs and are always engrossed in their thought. This is a nice purport where Prabhupada has explained the meaning of this purport. So, let's read this. Would anyone volunteer to read the purport of text 17?
I can read possibly.
Yes, please go ahead. Yes.
Haribol?
Yes, it's...
I'm now happy.
Yeah, go.
I'm now happy. I have everything in order. My bank balance is quite enough. I can now give my children enough space. I'm now successful. The poor beggar sannyasi depends on God. But they come to beg from me. Therefore, I'm more than the Supreme Lord. These are some of the thoughts which engross the infancy at each householder who is bind to the passes of the eternal time. Our duration is life is measured, and no one is able to enhance it, and hence it has given by a second against the scheduled time. Ordained by the Supreme Being, such valuable time, especially for the human being, should be cautiously spent because even a second passed away, imperfectibility cannot be replaced. Even in exchange for thousands of golden coins, embraced by hard labor, every second of human life is linked for making an ultimate solution to the problem of life. Repetition of birth and death and revolving in the cycle of 8.1 million different species of life, the material body which is subject to birth and death, disease and old age, is the cause of all suffering of the living being. Otherwise, the living being is eternal, he is never born, never does he ever die. Foolish persons forget this problem. They do not know at all how to solve the problem of life, but become engrossed in temporary family affairs, not knowing that eternal time is passing away in perpetuity, and that their measured duration of life is diminishing every second. Without any solution to the being problem, namely repetition of birth and death, disease and old age, this is called illusion. But such illusion cannot work on one who who is awake in the devotional service of the Lord. Yudhishthira Maharaj and his brothers, the Pandavas, were all engaged in the service of the Lord Sri Krishna. And they had very little affection for the imaginary happiness of this material world. As we have discussed previously, Maharaj Yudhishthira was fixed in the service of the Lord Mukunda, the Lord who can award salvation, and therefore he had no affection even for such comfort of life as are available in the kingdom of heaven. Because even the happiness obtained on the planet Brahmaloka is also temporary and illusory, because the living being is eternal, he can be happy only in the eternal abode of the kingdom of God, Parabrahma, from which no one returns to this season of repeated birth and death, disease and old age. Therefore, any comfort of life, of any material happiness, which does not want an eternal life, is but illusion for the eternal living being. One who understands this necessity is learned, and such a learned person can sacrifice any amount of material happiness to achieve the desired goal known as the Brahma-sukham or absolute happiness. Real transcendentalists are hungry for the happiness, and as a hungry man cannot be made happy by all comforts of life, finest food, stuff, so the man hungry for eternal absolute happiness cannot be satisfied by any amount of material happiness. Therefore, the instruction described in this verse cannot be applied to Maharaj Yudhishthira or his brothers and mother. It was meant for person like the Dhritarashtra, for whom Vidura came specially to impart lessons. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for reading. So, this verse is very important because it is also talking about family affairs. And we are all engaged in family affairs. So, insurmountable eternal time imperceptibly overcomes those who are too much attached to family affairs and are always engrossed in their thought. So, this word imperceptibly means what Prabhupada is trying to say is that you will not even know, but time will overcome you and stop your enjoyment and everything, and you will not be able to understand what's going on, why all this is happening, because we are too much attached to family affairs. So we have to understand that we are women taking care of children, taking care of household. Some of us have jobs. We also have to learn how to do those duties in a detached way. Of course, we have to be affectionate towards our children. When you are detached, then you can be really affectionate. Right? Because when you are detached from seeing your child or your husband as a provider of something that you need in your life, when you are detached from that, and when you are understanding the concept that I am spirit, soul, part and parcel of Krishna, and so is my husband and so are my children, when we are situated in that conception, detached from the material conception of life, then we can offer real affection to them. Because then that affection is not tainted by our own needs of how they should behave with us, or how they should respond to us, or how they should grow, or how much money they should have, or how the house should be, and all those things. But then the affection is real. So as women also, we have to cultivate this thing, that we do our services towards our family members, seeing them as part and parcel of Krishna, then we can serve them really nicely, better than with the material conception of life. But always constantly be attached to the lotus feet of Krishna. So most of us are at home who are on this call, or even those who are at work, we must cultivate this habit of constantly hearing lectures the whole day. Now you may think, oh, I'm not paying attention. No, something is going inside your head. Because when we keep hearing that, then we are always situated in the material conception of life. Then whatever decisions we take about our life and about our children also are based on the spiritual conception. So it's very important to contemplate on these things. That Prabhupada is telling, you know, every minute we are going closer to death. Every minute. Do we think like that? When we are using our time or how we spend our day. I mean, there's something we need to think about. Every minute we are getting closer and closer to death. That means that much less time to cultivate God consciousness. So that urgency we have to develop in our lives. That urgency to take shelter of Krishna, that urgency to convert every moment into a moment where we have gone closer to self-realization, closer in the service of Krishna. Text 18. विदुरस्तत् अभिप्रेत्य धृतराष्ट्राम् अभाषत राजन्निर्गम्यताम् शीघ्रम् पश्येदम् भयमागतम्। महात्मा विदुर न्यू ऑल दिस एंड देयरफॉर ही एड्रेस्ड धृतराष्ट्र सेइंग, माय डियर किंग, प्लीज गेट आउट ऑफ हियर इमीडिएटली, डू नॉट डिले, जस्ट सी हाउ फियर हैज ओवरटेकन यू। सो विदुर वॉज कॉन्टेम्पलेटिंग द वर्स अबव एंड देन ही नोज that death will come any time for Dhritarashtra, and he has not surrendered to the Lord, he has not given meaning to the Lord. So he is creating a sense of urgency in Dhritarashtra. Right? And this is also a nice purport by Srila Prabhupada that we can read. Would anyone like to volunteer to read text, the purport to text 18? Yes, please go ahead.
Dhritarashtra or even Maharaja distant. Therefore, spiritual instruction as was given to old Dhritarashtra was equally applicable to younger Maharaja distant. As a matter of fact, everyone in the royal palace, including the king and his brothers and mother, was rapidly attending the lecture. But it was known to Vidura that his instructions were specially meant for Dhritarashtra, who was too materialistic. The word Raju is especially addressed to Dhritarashtra significantly. Dhritarashtra was the eldest son of his father, and therefore, according to law, he was to be installed on the throne of Hastinapur. But because he was blind from birth, he was disqualified from his rightful claim. But he could not forget the bereavement, and his disappointment was more compensated after the death of Pandu, his younger brother. His younger brother left behind him some minor children, and Dhritarashtra became the natural guardian of them. But at heart, he wanted to become the actual king and hand the kingdom over to his own son, headed by Duryodhana. With all his imperial ambitions, Dhritarashtra wanted to become a king, and he contrived all sorts of intrigues in consultation with his brother-in-law, Sakuni. But everything failed by the will of the Lord, and at the last stage, even after losing everything, men and money, he wanted to remain as king, being the eldest uncle of Maharaja Yudhishthira. Maharaja Yudhishthira, as a matter of duty, maintained Dhritarashtra in royal honor, and Dhritarashtra was happily passing away his number of days in illusion of being a king or the royal uncle of King Yudhishthira. Vidura, as a saint and as a duty-bound, affectionate younger brother of Dhritarashtra, wanted to awaken Dhritarashtra from his slumber of disease and old age. Vidura therefore sarcastically addressed Dhritarashtra as the king, which he was actually not. Everyone is a servant of eternal time, and therefore no one can be king in this material world. King means the person who can order. The celebrated English king wanted to order time and tide, but the time and tide refused to obey his order. Therefore, one is a false king in the material world, and Dhritarashtra was particularly reminded of his false position and of the factual fearful happenings which had already approached him at that time. Vidura asked him to get out immediately if he wanted to be saved from the fearful situation which was approaching him fast. He did not ask Maharaja Yudhishthira in that way because he knew that a king like Maharaja Yudhishthira is aware of all the fearful situations of this flimsy world and would take care of himself in due course, although Vidura might not be present at that time. Thank you.
So very nice purport by Srila Prabhupada. So Dhritarashtra is attached and Vidura can see he is still attached. So Vidura is here to break his attachment. So we also want to have such relationships with devotees, where the devotees can come and tell us, hey, you are attached. Come on, stop this thing. This is not going to help you. We want to be able to have such relationships with the devotees. Because most of the time, if our heart is always closed and we are so scared of opening up our shortcomings in devotional service with other people, and if we feel so embarrassed, and if we feel that, oh no, what will they think of me, that means we really haven't surrendered to the goal of surrendering to Krishna. That means we are so conscious about still maintaining that bodily image and that social presence that we don't want to accept that, okay, I also have shortcomings that need work and I really need help of the devotees. So it's a choice we make, whether we want to be open or we want to be close. And Prabhupada at one place in the Bhagavatam, and hopefully I'll be able to search that purport one day, Prabhupada writes on that devotees must be open-minded and open-hearted so that they can receive the instructions of their friends and gurus very nicely. If we are not open-hearted and open-minded, we will not receive the instruction. We will act as if we are part of the congregation. We will be a part of the congregation, but we will never develop any deep relationship with anybody where we can really feel safe and open and share our shortcomings and receive instruction from our friends and seniors. Something to think about. Text 19. Pratikriya na yasyeha kutaschit karhichit prabho sa esha bhagavan kala sarvesham na sa savagataha. This frightful situation cannot be remedied by any person in this material world. My Lord, it is the Supreme Personality of Godhead as eternal time, Kala, that has approached us all. So this frightful situation which is there in Bhagavad Gita also, Neha Brik Kavana Shosti Pratyavayo Navidyate Swalpam Yasya Dharmasya Prayate Mahato Bhayat. Text 240. It says that in this path there is no loss or diminution and one is delivered from the greatest fear, which is death. So when you are engaged in Bhakti Yoga, the process of devotional service, of serving Krishna and his devotees with all your body, mind and words, then one does not fear death because you just think about death as a change of service. You think, okay, right now I'm serving here, then I'll have to serve in another place because you're attached to the service of the Lord. But for one who's attached to the material opulence and everything, the fear of death is like, or death feels like the bite of 40,000 scorpions. Here we are not talking about the physical pain, but we are talking about the mental pain that comes because of the fear of losing all the attachments, the things, the life that I had created, the identity I had created, the money I had earned, everything just goes away. So Vidura is telling that nobody can change death, however big a king you may be. And no matter what penance Hiranyakashipu did or what Ravan did, they had to face death. So it is better to surrender to Lord Krishna and receive his help so that we can overcome this fear of death and we can live a life of bhakti. Text 20. Yena chaiva bhipannoyam pranai priyatamairapi jana sadyo viyujyeta kim uttanyer ghanadibhi. See, now Vidura is talking, you know, he's getting warmed up. So Vidura just started, you know, please don't do this, this is not right for you. And now his instruction will become more and more hard, more and more severe, really cut through Dhritarashtra's heart. So he's telling, whoever is under the influence of Supreme Kala, eternal time, must surrender his most dear life. And what to speak of other things such as wealth, honor, children, land and home. So you must surrender. See, what is happening now? Nobody knows this science, or even if they know, we all know, we are brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha and sannyasa. I knew that since I was a child. That means I heard it from people around me. Right? So this is common knowledge. But nobody is working hard to cultivate vanaprastha. Right? A good grihastha is one who, before entering grihastha ashram, is very clear about the exit strategy from grihastha ashram. So before you are entering grihastha ashram, you know when and how you will exit from grihastha ashram after finishing the services in grihastha ashram. So they are very clear, they are clearly defined. So then what they do is, it is not like a switch, okay, button, you put it put the switch up, then the light is on, put it down, the light is off. That is not how the switch from grihastha ashram to vanaprastha happens. Because these people are intelligent, they live their grihastha life in also in such a way that they are able to surrender wealth, honor, land, home, attachment towards children once the children are grown up and their duties are done. Right? So we may think, oh, this is instruction for Dhritarashtra. No, this is instruction for us. We cannot, if you have not cultivated attachment to Krishna in your life and detachment from matter, when the time for vanaprastha comes, it will be very difficult to leave the home. It will be impossible. And that is what is happening in India. That because people have not been sufficiently instructed in this thing, then they are taking shelter of the home, and then there is not proper facility for them, proper instruction for them, proper exposure to them on how to live a life of vanaprastha, they are at home. But what happens is that while they are living at home, because, and this is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, that while they are living at home, say the ladies, they lose their beauty or their ability to run the house. And the men also become less strong. They are not able to earn as much as they earn. So for the same family that this husband and wife served and nurtured and earned all this wealth and opulence and everything that they did together, now the same family members want to get rid of them because they start seeing them as a burden. So it becomes a very, very difficult proposition for the old people that nobody wants them, right? So therefore the vanaprastha system was very good. As soon as they were done with their duties, they only left everything and went. It was not that they were forced to leave. They only left everything and went, and they were able to cultivate a life of God consciousness. But now what is happening is that because there is no proper instruction and no proper guidance and no proper examples on how that can be done, then it's very sorry state of affairs for them, because they are at home and they have given their life in serving their family members with so much love and affection. And especially the generation before us, been very duty bound, followed the principles of dharma so nicely, but they don't get anything in return from the generation after them. And because of all this industrialization and this all this colonization and everything, this particular generation also is not educated in how to take shelter of Krishna. So it's a very sorry state of affairs. And now this doesn't mean we go and preach to our parents, you do this, you do this, you do this. No, but by your own example, how nicely you execute bhakti, they will be able to overcome their things. Okay, gradually you drill them, but you don't tell them what to do. So by learning from all of these things, we also have to know that I have to cultivate my life, current life in grihastha ashram, so such a way that when the time comes, when I'm done with my duties, I should be able to be internally so renounced that I can live easily, like that. So that cultivation has to start. We have to be mindful of the goal. Only then we can get there. X21. Pitra bhratra suhit putra hataste vigatam vayam atmacha jaraya grasta parageham upasase. Your father, brother, well-wishers and sons are all dead and passed away. You yourself has expended the major portion of your life. Your body is now overtaken by invalidity and you are living in the home of another. So now Vidura is reminding him, look at your condition. All the people for whom you wanted to fight the battle and everything, they are all gone. Your major portion of your life is gone. Your body is becoming very weak. It's almost invalid. And you are living in the home of another person. What is your condition? What is this opulence that you are after? Because Dhritarashtra is still thinking, I'm living in opulence. But Vidura is reminding him, hey, this is nonsense. And now you see how strong Vidura's instructions start getting. Text 22. Andha puraiva vadhiro manda pragnascha sampratam vishirna danto mandagni saraga kafam udvahan. You have been blind from your birth. And recently you have become hard of hearing. Your memory is shortened and your intelligence is disturbed. Your teeth are loose. Your liver is defective and you are coughing up mucus. So the old age, the mucus is more. And especially when one person in old age dies, then they can only hear the guru guru sound. That's what the Bhagavatam describes. So he is telling him, you are blind from birth, spiritually blind, materially blind. You become hard of hearing also, physically hard of hearing also, and you are not hearing proper spiritual instructions. Right? Your body is dwindling. All these things are coming. But you are so foolish that you still think you can continue this as this particular body and this particular palace as a permanent settlement. You will be forced to come out. So it is better you give it up yourself. Right? So Prabhupada, right in the end of the purport, saints and sages like Vidura approach such foolish men to awaken them to the real situation. But they take such sadhus and saints as parasites of society. And almost all of them refuse to hear the words of such sadhus and saints. Although they welcome show-bottle sadhus and so-called saints who can satisfy their senses, Vidura was not a sadhu to satisfy the ill-gotten sentiment of Dhritarashtra. He was correctly pointing out the real situation of life and how one can save oneself from such catastrophes. So Vidura was not in need of anything. He was not in need of some praise or recognition that everyone tells, wow, Vidura went on pilgrimage for 30 to 35 years. Now he is coming to deliver his brother Dhritarashtra. He was not in need of anything. Those things arise from a material conception. He was situated in a spiritual conception. He came only to push Dhritarashtra out of his comfort zone and to address the real duty in life. Text 23. अहो महीयासी जंतो जीविताशा यथा भवान भीमापवर्जितं पिंडं आदत्ते गृहपालवत. Alas, how powerful are the hopes of a living being to continue his life. Verily, you are living just like a household dog and are eating the remnants of food given by Bhima. It's amazing. She is getting more and more direct with Vidura, with Dhritarashtra. So let's read this purport. Would anyone like to read?
Haribol?
Yes, please go ahead.
A sadhu should never flatter king or rich men to live comfortably at their court. A sadhu is to speak to the householders about the naked truth of life, so that they may come to their senses about the precarious life and material existence. Dhritarashtra is a typical example of an attached old man in household life. He had become a pauper in the true sense, yet he wanted to live comfortably in the house of the Pandavas, of whom Bhima especially is mentioned because personally he killed two prominent sons of Dhritarashtra, namely Duryodhana and Dushasana. These two sons were very much dear to him for their notorious and nefarious activities. And Bhima is particularly pointed out because he killed these two stepsons. And was Dhritarashtra living there at the house of the Pandavas? Because he wanted to continue his life comfortably, even at the risk of all humiliation. Dhritarashtra, therefore, was astonished how powerful is the urge to continue life. This sense of continuing one's life indicates that a living being is eternally a living entity and does not want to change his bodily habitation. The foolish man does not know that a particular term of bodily existence is awarded to him to undergo a term of imprisonment, and the human body is awarded after many, many births and deaths as a chance for self-realization to go back home, back to Godhead. But persons like the Dhritarashtra try to make plans to live there in a comfortable position with profit and interest, for they do not see things as they are. Dhritarashtra is blind and continues to hope to live comfortably in the midst of all kinds of reverses of life. A sadhu like Vidura is meant to awaken that blind and thus help them go back to Godhead, where life is eternal. Once going there, no one wants to come back to the material world of misery. We can just imagine how responsible a task is entrusted to a sadhu like Mahatma Vidura.
Thank you. So we also want to become like Vidura. Want to become like sadhus like Vidura so that we can also help fellow human beings. Text 24. Agnirmishrishta dattascha garo darascha dushitaha हितं क्षेत्रं धनं येषां तद्दत्तैः अशुभि कियत्. There is no need to live a degraded life and subsist on the charity of those whom you tried to kill by arson and poisoning. You also insulted their married life and usurped their kingdom and wealth. Right? In spite of that, they were serving him so nicely. They were following their dharma, but Dhritarashtra was not following their dharma. And Prabhupada writes on 5,000 years ago, there was one Dhritarashtra. But at the present moment, there are Dhritarashtras in every home. Politicians especially do not retire from political activities unless they are dragged by the cruel hand of death or killed by some opposing element. To stick to family life to the end of one's human life is the grossest type of degradation. And there is an absolute need for the Viduras to educate such Dhritarashtras even at the present moment. Text 25. Tasyapi tava deho yam kripanasya jijivisho paraityannichato jirno jaraya vasasi iva. Again, another hard one. Despite your unwillingness to die, and your desire to live even at the cost of honor and prestige, your miserly body will certainly dwindle and deteriorate like an old garment. Beautiful. So the words Kripanasya Jiji Visho are significant. There are two classes of men. One is called the Kripana and the other is called the Brahmana. The Kripana, or the miserly man, has no estimation of his material body. But the Brahmana has a true estimation of himself and the material body. The Kripana, having a wrong estimation of this material body, wants to enjoy sense gratification with his utmost strength. And even in old age, he wants to become a young man by medical treatment or otherwise. Dhritarashtra is addressed herein as a Kripana because without any estimation of his material body, he wants to live at any cost. Vidura is trying to open his eyes to see that he cannot live more than his term and that he must prepare for death. Since death is inevitable, why should he accept such a humiliating position for living? It is better to take the right path even at the risk of death. Human life is meant for finishing all kinds of miseries of material existence, and life should be so regulated that one can achieve the desired goal. Dhritarashtra, due to his wrong conception of life, had already spoiled 80% of his achieved energy, so it behooved him to utilize the remaining days of his miserly life for the ultimate good. Such a life is called miserly because one cannot properly utilize the assets of the human form of life. Only by good luck does such a miserly man meet a self-realized soul like Vidura, and by his instruction gets rid of the meshes of material existence. So we don't want to be miserly. Miserly people means what? They have everything, but they will not use it for their own advantage because they just want to keep saving. Right? So we have all the assets of the human form of life. We have this great temple. We have Harivilas Prabhu. We have Prabhupada's books. We have the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. We have association. We have prasadam. We have so many classes happening. We have so many opportunities for service. So we don't want to be the Kripana. We don't want to be miserly. We want to properly utilize this blessing that we have been given and give our best shot in going back to Godhead so that the Lord is pleased. And then whatever shortcomings are there, Yogakshemam Vahamyaham, I will carry what you lack and preserve what you have. So we give our best shot and whatever is lacking, then the Lord will carry it for us. So we have to know this and we have to follow this in our life. We all want to go back to Godhead in this lifetime. We cannot ever relax on this particular goal of ours. It's not like, okay, it's okay, you know, it's so tiring. Let me just do something else. No, we cannot compromise on this goal. We have to go back to Godhead in this lifetime. What do you know next life, whether you will have all these facilities for Krishna consciousness or not? So we must contemplate this and we must discuss this amongst each other. Text 26. Gata swartham imam deham virakto mukta bandana avignata gatir jahyat savai dhira udahita. He is called undisturbed who goes to an unknown, remote place and freed from all obligations, quits his material body when it has become useless. So here Vidura is telling Dhritarashtra what he should do. And it's explained nicely in the purport about the... I'll just read the purport for all of us so that the points become very clear. Narottam Das Thakur, a great devotee and acharya of the Gaudiya Vaishnava sect, has sung, "My dear Lord, I have simply wasted my life. Having obtained a human body, I have neglected to worship your lordship and therefore I have willingly drunk poison." In other words, the human body is especially meant for cultivating knowledge of devotional service to the Lord, without which life becomes full of anxieties and miserable conditions. Therefore, one who has spoiled his life without such cultural activities is advised to leave home without the knowledge of friends and relatives and be thus freed from all obligations of family, society, country, etc. Give up the body at some unknown destination, so that others may not know where and how he has met his death. Dhira means one who is not disturbed, even when there is sufficient provocation. One cannot give up a comfortable family life due to his affectionate relation with wife and children. Self-realization is obstructed by such undue affection for family. And if anyone is at all able to forget such a relation, he is called undisturbed or Dhira. This is, however, the path of renunciation based on a frustrated life. But stabilization of such renunciation is possible only by bona fide association with bona fide saints and self-realized souls by which one can be engaged in the loving devotional service of the Lord. Sincere surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord is possible by awakening the transcendental sense of service, and that comes by association with pure devotees of the Lord. Dhritarashtra was lucky enough to have a brother whose very association was a source of liberation for this frustrated life. Now we may think, oh, I also want to have such a brother or sister. Okay, we already have many brothers and sisters in Seattle, and we must take each other's association and must keep reminding ourselves about the goal of life. So I'll end here. We've already read 16 verses today, so I don't want to go further. And then the remaining part of the chapter is how Vidura tells him what to do, and then Dhritarashtra follows his instructions along with Gandhari. And Gandhari, being a chaste wife, she follows her husband. And then how the Maharaj Yudhishthira gets very restless. He cannot find his uncles with Dhritarashtra and Vidura. And then he becomes very anxious, and then he thinks, did I offend my uncle in any way? You know, did I do anything wrong to them? You know, I'm very sorry. You know we killed their children, so I feel very bad. Because of me, they had to leave this place. So Yudhishthira is still thinking about service only. He's not thinking, I did the right thing. Right? So this cultivation of proper guilt, not improper guilt the way we have, but proper guilt, we will discuss that over the next few weeks. So thank you everyone for your association and patient hearing. Would anyone like to share any points or anything that was striking for them or anything that they feel they want to relate to all of us for our benefit? Please do so.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Yes, Anukriti. Hari Bol.
Hari Bol. Mataji, why do we need to keep fast? I know that in Ekadasi we keep fast because there is some story. In Janmashtami we keep fast, right? Means in every festival we need to keep fast. Some people are telling me that why should we keep fast? We can worship Lord in full stomach. If our tummy is full, then only we can concentrate more on God, right? So I am also thinking, why do we need to keep fast?
Yes, nice question. Would anyone like to answer that question? On the call?
Mataji, could you repeat the question? Because I couldn't hear it.
Okay. So the question, sorry, it is coming from Skype. So maybe it's not coming properly on the phone. So Anukriti is asking this question, what is the purpose of keeping fast on days like Ekadasi, or the appearance day of the Lord and the disappearance days of the Lord, like Janmashtami, Gaur Purnima, all these things? Why do we have to fast on those days? Anyone? Come on. We all have been fasting, so we should be able to answer this question.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, I would like to try. I think there are certain rituals and everything which is given in the Vedas which have been followed for years together. And I heard recently about the Ekadashis. I heard that everything is, at the end of the day, is kind of a devotional service to Lord Krishna. So the penance you do, the austerities you do, it is to show how deeply you want to be in service. So that's a way to even, people have different paths to reach this goal. And this is even, it's just a desperate try, which is good to be in the service to show our service to the Lord. Not as to make a show out of it or to show others, but it is more how you feel deeply within your heart towards the Lord, that you feel towards the Lord. I believe. When I do the fast.
Good. Thank you for saying. So that is one point. Is it's a austerity that we overtake, that we take, to show our willingness to the Lord that we really want to serve you. So we mark that particular day and we do that particular austerity because it is pleasing to the Lord. So one thing is we do that as an austerity to really show our commitment. So this is also one of the angas of devotional service. Yes, there are more reasons to why we fast. Anyone else? Okay, someone is typing very nicely.
And no, Mataji, I'm writing so that I can answer to someone.
Okay. Would anyone like to share anything else? So another reason we fast is that so that we are not so focused on our bodily needs and we are not spending a lot of time in cooking and eating and doing all those things. See, sometimes the days you have to fast, you will see that there is so much time at hand. If the entire family is fasting and you don't have to cook. Like say now Nirjal Ekadashi is going to come in June where everyone will fast even from water. So on those days when you don't have to cook and clean, like you know how much time in the day just goes in eating, you will notice. Just the act of eating, first cooking, then eating, then cleaning up, then again cooking, again eating, again cleaning up. So much time goes in that. So the point is that when you are fasting, you are less focused on your bodily needs because it's an austerity. And you are more focused on the purpose of your life. And you are more focused on reading about the Lord, hearing about the Lord, and engaged in services related to the Lord. Engaged in chanting Hare Krishna and engaged in Kirtan. Because you are not focused so much on your bodily needs. So this is another point on why we engage in fasts. Yes, anyone else? This is the two points I know. If the people know other points, then please tell us.
But Mataji, when we are hungry, means we are not eating anything, then we are always thinking about, I am hungry. So if we are, if we will eat and then do chanting, then it will, we can do more concent, we can be more concentrated on chanting, right? So why should we need fast? if we do not keep fast, means
see, when if you are fasting and you are not engaging in any devotional activities and you are just sitting at home, you will keep feeling hungry. But if you are fasting and you are in the association of devotees, you are doing some service or you are chanting or hearing and all that, then you are able to fast easily like that. And some austerity should be done for Krishna, right? We are always eating, so little bit austerity is okay. We can do little bit, as Pragati Mataji explained, you know, it helps us show Krishna that no, I am committed to you, I am really happy that I am able to serve you and be a part of this. So some austerity helps us. It helps us contemplate on the Lord. It helps us understand I am not this body, I am the soul. Because always we are focused on the needs of the body, but on such days we realize, okay, I don't want to focus on the needs of the body because I am spirit soul. And like Parikshit Maharaj, he was hungry. He was very thirsty. And then because he was thirsty, he didn't get water, he committed an offense against the person who did not give him water. But then he was cursed to die in 7 days. So in those 7 days, he was being instructed by Sukadev Goswami on the Srimad Bhagavatam, the subject that we are reading now. So in those 7 days, because he was so engrossed in hearing about the Lord, that he tells that it is that I am not feeling thirsty, I am not feeling like sleeping, and my body is all full, fresh and invigorated and you know very, very energized. So the same Parikshit Maharaj who, because he was thirsty, had to commit an offense against a Brahmana, the same Parikshit Maharaj, because he was involved in the hearing and chanting of the Lord, did not want to waste even one moment. And so he didn't want to take care of his bodily needs. He was completely focused on the service of the Lord. Like that. So you have to experience it. So now, Anukriti, you try fasting in this Janmashtami or this Nirjal Ekadashi. And you try to be in the temple or try to be in the association of the devotees. You will see the difference. You will be able to focus more. Another thing is when you are eating, your body also becomes lazy. Then it needs rest. As soon as you eat, some of our alertness goes away. Because the energy goes into digesting the food. Like if the day you are doing Nirjal Ekadasi, which you are fasting from morning or the night before, till the next morning, it's more than actually, it's supposed to be 24 hours, but it actually goes more because two nights you are sleeping. And then there is a particular fast breaking time, right? You are feeling very light in your body. You have not even had water. Some weakness might come to some people, but then as soon as you eat the next day, I have experienced this personally, I become extremely tired. First I think I am tired, so let me eat. But when I start eating, I become more tired, and then I realize that there is so much energy that goes in digestion of the food, and then I feel sleepy also, and then I have to use the restroom also and go to the bathroom also. So many things, you know, that time adds up. So the time is precious, so that we can use in the devotional service of the Lord. And these festivals, when we are observing the festivals, when we are engaging in service, when we are fasting, it helps us meditate on the Lord also, because we remember, oh, I cannot eat this because today is Janmashtami, Lord Krishna is born. So every time you are meditating on the Lord also by this fasting and engaging in devotional activities. Just fasting and not replacing the thing by chanting, hearing, reading and all, and in association of devotees, fasting can be difficult. So you try it this time, experience it, then you will feel. And these are the two points I know. If others know more points, then please share. But yes, if somebody's body, you know, like some people get gas and then they get a headache, or, you know, some mothers are feeding their children, or whatever, if your body is not able to take it, some people get acidity, then you do what you can. But do some austerity at least. Okay, you're not doing full nirjal on Janmashtami. Okay, you can eat some fruits. But do something at least for Lord Krishna. It is manageable by your health and your body. So, thank you very much. Any points? Anything else anyone would like to share? All right then. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande. Hari Hari Bol. Thank you everyone. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.